All right. Well, today we are starting a brand new series. It's all about relationships called Bridges. And I think a bridge is a great illustration for what a relationship should look like. I'll tell you about it just a little bit. One of the things that I know is that every bridge exists to kind of span a chasm, if you will, between one place and another. Usually it's over a body of water and there's people on one side and they looked at one point. It's like, wow, it would sure be nice to be able to cross this river without swimming, right? It'd be nice to be able to get our resources to one side and to be able to connect with people on another side. And so people started building bridges. And so bridges, if you think about it, are all about making a connection, right? It's all about making some kind of connection. And so bridges, if you think about it, they join together that which was once separated. They join together things that were separated, and through that, they provide connection points and opportunities for really relationships, for community to be built in a lot of different ways. And so the thing I was thinking about is if you were to look at, we've been watching bridge projects a lot here in this area because we had one that happened, McGinnis Ferry, and it's done, thanks be to God. And now there's one that's happening that's going to take like 10 more years or something, on 20. But we've been watching some bridges be built. And the thing that's cool is it's interesting how they build bridges. It's pretty simple, if you will. Because in a lot of ways, even though it takes them a long time to do it, there's a river in between or something like that, and they build a foundation on one side. Then they build a foundation on the other side, and then they connect it all with a bridge deck. And so it's one of those things that as they do that, it provides an access or a pathway to get to things that you couldn't cross without a bridge. And so, bridges, they're all around us today. And so many times we cross bridges today without even really thinking about it, just instinctively. In fact, as we've been seeing these bridge projects that are being built, one of the things that's cool is we cross so many times, McGinnis Ferry or 20, there's a river, the Chattahoochee River, that we have to cross. And when you do that, none of us usually, as we're crossing it, get so excited and say, oh my goodness, I'm crossing a bridge. I can't believe that now I can get from Forsyth to Gwinnett and back to Forsyth and back to Gwinnett. We don't like think about that. It's just we take it for granted, all the engineering and all the work that it took to build a bridge that spans a chasm between both sides. And so we'd never be able to cross it from where we are to where other people are without a bridge. So bridges are about making connections. And so over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about relationships. We're going to be talking about how we can build and building and burning relationships, building and burning bridges in all of our relationships. And the thing that I know about this is that the Bible tells us that we are built or we're designed to be connected to other people. I mean, God made us to be in connection with each other. We see that in marriage. We see that also in people around us. Like, we're made to be connected. In fact, none of us were made to be to really be isolated from relationships. Sometimes it feels like we want to be like, it's like, oh, my relationships are just bad. Let me just get out of here. And one of the things that we found in this area when we moved here is more than most areas that I've really ever been in is in a lot of ways, the thing that people struggle with most is finding community, finding connection. Because with all the houses that are here and all the different things, so many times we pull into the driveway from work and all the stuff. We pull into the driveway, the garage door goes up, we pull in, garage door goes down, and so many times community is shut off. And so we live around all sorts of people, but sometimes we're not connected. And so the thing is we're going to be talking about in this series, we're going to be looking at God's word, and we're going to discover how we can build healthy relationships in all of our lives. And we're going to kind of look at 360 degrees around us, like how we can build healthy relationships 360 degrees in every direction in all of our relationships. So our family, our marriage, our friends, our coworkers, some of those folks, we're going to talk about how to do that. And it's one of those things where oftentimes what is built, we might think that we're building a relational bridge, but so many times what is built is sometimes looks a little bit more superficial or surface level. So we might be connected with a lot of people, but we're not really connected relationally with people in a way that's healthy, in a way that gives life, when Jesus designed us to have relationships that are so life-giving. But we're also going to talk about another part of the relationships, because I know that you have experienced the same thing that I've experienced, that sometimes when you face relationships in the world 360 degrees around you that sometimes can get unhealthy. that sometimes are difficult relationships or maybe even can feel a little bit toxic. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that in this series, about what to do when a relational bridge seems to be burning. And in those situations, do we just cut off connection, or is there a way that God can repair that bridge in some kind of way? So that's what you have to look forward to over the next 4 weeks. But today what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at the 30,000 foot view of bridges and the way God wants us to really, what I'm talking about today is to be a bridge builder. How God wants us to be a bridge builder in every single one of our relationships. How we can be a bridge builder. And it means, when I say bridge builder, obviously you think of like the people that worked so hard to build a bridge. They had the construction hat. There was work that was needed. There were things that they had to do that took a lot of time to build certain relationships. But how we're called to be a bridge builder. And it's one of those things where it means that to be a person who works to build bridges, to connect to other people, to love other people the way Jesus first loved us. But in order to understand kind of the idea of what God has called us to do, to elevate it in our minds, we really have to start by looking at the source of all connections. We have to start by looking at the source that really the ultimate bridge builder, and that's the Lord, and the way God bridges gaps to people like us. And so here's kind of the thing. Since the beginning of time, if you followed any human history, it's one of those things where people started looking outside of themselves and they started looking around at the world and saying, wow, there must be some kind of God somewhere out there. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he looks like, but there's got to be a God. As people looked around at creation and looked around at the world and they saw the sun and the moon and the stars, sometimes people even said, well, maybe that's the God. Maybe the sun is, or maybe the moon is. But they looked around at, people started looking around at the mountains and the oceans and the trees and the way people are made and how every single person has a different fingerprint. How each of us have different amount of hair on our head, no amens right there. But it's one of those things where everybody is created so differently and uniquely and yet so perfectly given certain gifts. And so people started looking and at the world and they started to realize, look, there's got to be a God somewhere out there. And so in that pursuit, rightfully so, people started to realize, well, God must be this transcendent being. God has to be just, maybe God is just, so much bigger, so much beyond us, that God is different than us. He's holy. People started looking at their lives and they started to kind of, with a mirror up, to look at their reflection and say, you know what? If God is out there, I don't think he's anything like me. Because we started looking around and saying, look, I need to be connected to a God who's bigger than me. When we face things in our lives, we're like, I need a God in my life who's bigger than me and who can help me to find life and purpose and connection. And so with all of that, the problem was there's some God out there and people started trying to figure out who is God. And the problem is, to use a football illustration, we saw this in our game last night, is that we're running the ball down the field, but the problem is all of us have fumbled the football. And it doesn't matter how well we've run. It doesn't matter how far we've gone and how close to the goal line we've gotten in our connection with God. All of us have fumbled the ball. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have, in our lives, we've fallen short of God's love and perfection in our lives. And it's one of those things where as all of us have turned away from God, this is the word that the Bible used. They use the word sin, right? And it's a word that we're like, oh, here we go. Talking about sin, Sin is simply the thing that separates us from God. Now, this is like general Bible stuff, but the thing is like we find ourselves kind of like on a cliff, and because of our choices to turn away from God, we find that we're over here and God's over here, and there's this huge chasm in the middle, and there's no way for us to get connected to God. And so the term sin, it's an archery term. Did you know that? Have you ever seen archery in the Olympics? Here's what sin means. It means that you aim in a certain direction. You aim your life at a certain thing. You're trying to follow God. You're trying to follow his ways. Sin simply means that you miss the mark. You're trying to shoot here, or maybe you're not trying to shoot here, but this is the arrow. This is where God wants you to be. Sin simply means that we miss the mark. And so it's one of those things where we find that because of that, we're striving to follow God and we miss the mark. And since God is holy and we're not, we find that there's this gap between us and God. And so people started coming up with all these different faith systems and moral systems to try to find a way to maybe bridge the gap between us and God. And in every major religion of the world, The basic premise is that in some sort of way, we're over here and God's over here. In some sort of way, we're going to have a construction project. We put on our hard hats. We try to do the best that we can to try to earn our way to God. And so it's almost like every major religion in some kind of way is a bridge building contest, where on the human side, we start to do it with all of our effort, trying to be a good person and all these things, trying to get to the other side, trying to earn our way to God. Like maybe if I fly straighter, you know, in my life, maybe if I like, you know, miss the mark a little bit, you know, but not all the way, maybe God will say, okay, that's close enough, you know? Or maybe in some kind of way, like if I'm just more religious, if I just strive to be a better person. Or maybe on the other side, what a lot of people think is like, okay, I've done some bad things in my life, but maybe if I just go out in the world and just do a lot of charity, you know, do a lot of good things, and God will see me in my life, and somehow I'll be measured up, and I'll build that bridge over to God. But every single time we build a human bridge, we end up in the lake. We fall short of where God wants us to be and what God intends for us. And it's one of those things where we find that our bridge is too small. And so this is every major religion of the world except for Christianity. And biblical Christianity tells a very different story. And the story is an incredible story of grace. How when we found ourselves unable to reach out to God on our own, how God has reached out to us. In fact, I want you to check out this scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Here's what it says. It says this in verse 4. It says, but because of his great love for us. So when we find ourselves on a cliff and God's on the other side, but because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression, sins, missing the mark. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved. That's God's part. Grace is God's part. It says through faith. Faith is our part. We put our faith in him. So God says yes to us through grace. Faith is the part where we say yes to him. And it says, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so you may have heard this before. This is the gospel. This is the good news of who God is and what God has done. See, God saw our human condition and where we were, that we're on one cliff and God's on the other and we can't build the bridge to him. God saw all of our shortcomings and our failures, but God responded. His heart grew in his love for us. And God was willing to do anything it took in order to bridge that gap to us. In other words, it's one of those things where God loved us so much that he didn't just sit down on the bench. You know, we're fumbling the ball. He didn't just sit on the bench and say, well, maybe they'll figure it out someday, you know. Maybe they'll get their life together. No, God took the first step. And God began to build a bridge that we couldn't build on our own. Building a bridge all the way to us. He made the first move to connect with us. And it wasn't because of our effort. It wasn't because of your resume. It wasn't because of all the different things that you've done in your life that's so good and all the good deeds. God reaching out to you and me is a gift. It's a gift. And it's all because God loves us. And so if you think about this in all of our relationships, God had every right to burn a bridge. God had every right to burn the bridge to us. I mean, what do we do in all of our relationships? When somebody turns their back on us, and then they do it again, and they do it again. At some point, it's like, okay, I've given you a few chances, but it's like, at some point, we start to burn that bridge. Like, I'm done with that relationship. Like, this is, like, not helpful. It's not healthy. But God had every right to burn the bridge, but instead, he built a bridge to get to you and me. And this is really the model of what God wants us to do in all of our relationships. But this is what Jesus has done for us, how God sent his son. He sent Jesus, his best. He built a bridge, a highway, so that we can have a connection with God. And with that, even though we deserve, we burn the bridge and turned away from him, God reaches out to us and he invites us all through his grace to walk across the bridge that he built through grace. And so we can say it kind of like this. This is kind of the bottom line, is that we have a bridge to cross, and the cross is that bridge. We have a bridge to cross, and the cross is that bridge. Jesus built it by grace. And so this is what the foundation of every relationship is. And so when we look at our earthly relationships, since God has built a bridge to us, God wants us to be bridge builders in all of our relationships, to be a bridge builder. In other words, it means that we start to build bridges to extend the love that we receive from God out to other people, our spouse, our friends, our coworkers. We start to let God's love flow through us to others. And the model of the way God has loved us, the model and the way God has sacrificially loved us is the model by which God wants us to live in all of our relationships, 360 degrees around our life. Here's how Jesus put it in John chapter 13. He said this in verse 4 and 35. He says, "A new command I give you," or "a fresh command I give you. Love one another." That sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, okay, great, I'll go love each other. But this is harder to put into practice. He says, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Verse 35, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Now, this is one of those things where what Jesus is saying, he's using this word agape. It's this perfect love that comes from God. He's saying, look, I don't want you to just like be infatuated by other people. I don't want you to just kind of like love people when it's convenient, step away when it's not. I want you to agape other people the way the Lord Jesus has loved you, the way Jesus has loved you. In every relationship, I want you to be a bridge builder and connect and extend God's love to the people around you. And he says, when you do that, that becomes the mark of your connection with me. And so the thing I was thinking about is the way we love people, there's a difference in loving people with a bucket and with a water hose, with a bucket and a water hose. Now, the thing is, so many times in our life, let's think about your connection with God and how God wants you to be a bridge builder, to love other people. So many times in our life, as good Christians, we love for God to fill our bucket, right? We love for God to pour into our lives, and just, you know, we come to church and like, oh, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me and I'm growing so much in my faith. And we love sometimes in the church to hold our love bucket, you know, to hold the bucket of where God is pouring into our lives. And so we hold it out and we say, God, bless me even more and love me even more. And God, I love you so much. And we hold onto this bucket. And it's one of those things, at our house, we do some water projects with our little kids. And we'll have some water and we'll leave it out sometimes. And over time, that water that's been sitting there for a little bit starts to turn a little bit green, starts to get not quite as good as it was, not as fresh as it was when it came in. And so many times, this is what happens in our lives when we're following God and God's pouring his love into our lives. And we're just saying, oh, I love being this Christian, Bubba. I love what you're doing in my life, Jesus. But if we don't pour out, then so many times what's poured in is not useless, but so many times it's not as useful as God would want it to be. Instead of being like a bucket, God wants us to be more like a fire hose or a water hose. Whereas God pours his water, pours the living water of faith into your life, his love into your life. God wants us to constantly be pouring out into the lives of other people. So there's this constant inflow and outflow. Y'all know what happens. You know, so many times there's this thing biologically that happens. If you just hold in and hold in, it's called constipation, right? It's painful. We're not made to live with constipated love. We're made to have God pouring into our lives and flowing out to other ways so that God's love can flow in us and through us. And the truth is, you can't just fill your own bucket. We need God to fill that bucket. We need God to pour into us because he is the source. But at the same time, God's called us to be a bridge builder and to love each other well. See, that y'all, they got y'all's attention a little bit with that one. So this new command, it's not really a new command. I mean, they'd kind of been told, yeah, love other people. But what's new is Jesus is saying, no. The way that God has loved you, that's the model of how you're to love. And so what he does is he's almost like elevating what love looks like. And he's saying, I want you to love the way I've loved you. And everybody's like, wow, how can we do that? He says, I'm glad you asked. It only happens when you're connected with me. When you get connected with me, I start to enable you to love people, to flow through you a kind of love that you don't have in and of yourself. I start to flow through you to give the love of God into your relationships, into your marriage, into your kids, into your coworkers and classmates. This is what I want to do in your life. I want you to build a bridge. And when we build bridges so many times, the reason this is fresh is because Isaac Newton put it well. He once said that we build too many walls and not enough bridges. In our relationships, we build too many walls and not enough bridges. In fact, it's one of those things where bridges, the bridges that we build in our relationships are often built when it's convenient, when it's easy, or when a relationship around us can benefit us in some kind of way. You know, you have LinkedIn and stuff like that, and you make all these connections, and if maybe I can leverage this relationship and work this kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that in a business setting. But so many times when it doesn't benefit us, we have a tendency to either burn the bridge or to walk away from the bridge. In fact, in the military, in wartime, a military or an army will often build a bridge. And they'll build a certain bridge, and the sole purpose of that bridge is to get their resources, to get their supplies, to get their people to the other side. And so many times when the bridge is done, this is like good war strategy, is they cross the bridge, they cross that bridge when they come to it, you know? And then when they're done with the bridge, they blow it up. I don't need that bridge anymore. And so the sole purpose of that bridge has nothing to do with connection. It's all about what I can get and what we can get. And it may be a great military strategy. There's nothing wrong with that in military strategy, I don't guess. But in our relationships, we bring this strategy into our relationships so many times. That so many times what we build are these military type bridges that say, look, I'm only in this as long as I can get something out of this. And this is how we do in our relationships so many times. And so the truth is sometimes we treat our relationships like that. And when we build a relational bridge to get what we want or to leverage some kind of relationship benefit, that's what's normal. So many times we do that in our marriages. Like, you know what, honey, I will love you and love you and love you, but man, if things get hard, or if man, you start getting difficult to be around, you know, if you don't brush your teeth very well, whatever, like I'm out, you know, I'm going to step away a little bit from connection. And if a relational bridge is just about my benefit, then what we miss is genuine connection, the connection Jesus wants us to have. And so when things get difficult, or in some kind of way when we don't benefit, oftentimes what we do is we pull away. We burn a bridge or we put up a wall with our spouse, with our friends, even in our career. And when a relationship is not helpful to us anymore, we either burn it down or we build a wall. And the thing is, too many people pull away from real connection, from real love, loving people around us. When it starts to become tiring, or when it starts to, in some kind of way, it takes more time and more work than what we really wanted. We build a military bridge. That's normal. On the other side of that, we've maybe experienced the results of military bridges, right? And I'm not dogging the military. I love the military. But just hear the illustration. We build a wartime bridge is maybe a better way to say this. And maybe we've experienced that. Like you've been connected to somebody and it's all about them all the time, right? It's all about what they want. And it's one of those things where maybe you look at that and you realize, like, man, I have been burned by a bridge. And so when you start to get close to somebody, when you start to get more connected to somebody in a marriage or in your family or out in the sphere of influence, it's tempting to start pulling away because I don't want you to hurt me like the other bridge that was built. We pull away from connection to protect ourselves. This is what's normal. And so what Jesus is saying is not normal. He's saying, look, it takes trust and it takes vulnerability to build bridges to people, to love people the way I have first loved you, Jesus would say. And it takes hard work and intentionality to pursue those relationships. And it takes the help of God because we need God to pour into us so that we can flow out God's love from us. So anyway, Jesus is saying something that's not normal. And he's saying, look, I want you to be a bridge builder. Where you choose to do the hard work of loving other people 360 degrees around you. This is the overall concept of this series. And the truth is, that's something that only happens when you're connected to Jesus. And one of the things I've found in my life is so many times, you know, we want to grow. Like for me, the closer I am to God, the more I can actually start loving people well. The closer I am to God, like when I am just like, I'm abiding in Jesus, I'm like working at following him, like God, I'm connected to you. Loving other people just kind of seems to be a fruit of that. But even as a pastor, even in times when I maybe am pulling away a little bit from devotional life, like not being as connected to God as maybe I could be or should be, and you've been there, I find that I don't love people the same. Start to get irritable, you know, to be around. It's one of those things. God, a connection with God is the first step to any relationship and loving people well. He's the source, and he wants his love to travel through you. So this is what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. And with this, what we're going to be doing is next week, I'm going to be giving you some really practical things. How do you build bridges? How does that look like? How do we build healthy bridges in our lives? But I want to give you just a few, as we're looking 360 degrees around us, I want to give you just a few different spheres of influence that we can look at and some practical steps and even challenges of how you can build a bridge this week. And so let's talk at first about marriage, your marriage. If you're married or if you're dating somebody, or some kind of romantic love, whatever, here's what we want to do. We're really passionate about pouring into marriages, pouring into families. It's one of those things where so many families are not experiencing the abundant life that God wants us to have. And I just think that, like, it's one of those things where God just wants to bless families. And when a family is just, family is just ticking on all cylinders, connected with God, then, man, God can use that family in so many ways. And so one of the things we're going to do there in your program, there's a resource that we want to encourage you to be part of. It's I told you about it last week. It's called The Love Dare. And The Love Dare is a 40-day devotional. I want to encourage you to purchase that. There's a link in there where you can purchase it, like with a Kindle, or you could do it just a real copy. But it's a 40-day devotional, and it's got just two pages a day. You read it, and it talks about how to love your spouse even better. And then there's like a step of a challenge of like, today, I want you to do this. Today, I want you to do something you get something for your spouse that they weren't expecting. You know, bring them flowers, whatever, something like that. It'll tell you different steps. Don't worry, guys. It doesn't get expensive. A lot of stuff is just like, you know, things that are just action steps. But it's ways to pursue your spouse and to love your spouse. And I believe throughout this series, I want to encourage you to go through that. Go through that together as a couple, because I think it's going to help you to build a stronger bridge in to pursue your spouse. So that's step one in your marriage. Here's another sphere of influence, your kids. How do you build a bridge to your kids this week? One of the things that I was thinking about is the number one thing that kids need, the number one thing that kids are deprived of so many times is quality time. Quality time. That seems a little bit funny, but you think about it. So many times the walls that prevent us from deeper connection with our kids, whether they're this little or whether they weigh way big, is oftentimes we're distracted and we're not paying the quality time that they need. And so I want to encourage you to focus 20 to 30 minutes every day. Focus 20 to 30 minutes every day, giving your kids the full attention that you have. And you'll be surprised when you do how much your kids come alive, how much they feel special and you connect with them. And it's one of those things where there's a couple different ways to do it. One of the things is you can just simply, hey, today, let's do something that your kids love. 20 to 30 minutes. Do something that your kids love and do it with them. For me, for my son, it's baseball. Like he just comes alive when his daddy plays baseball with him. And it's not about baseball. It's like I'm connecting with my dad. It's like a connection moment. Another thing, it could be around bedtime. For us, one of the things we do is we gather together, unless my kids fall asleep before, we gather together and we say a prayer with them. And we pray for what God did in the day, and we pray for other things. But one of the things I'll oftentimes do at bedtime, beyond just the bedtime prayers, is so many times I'll talk to Peyton especially and talk to Kelsey about what makes them special, what I love about them. And I don't know about you, but when we're just like talking about that, just it makes them come alive. One of the things I do is I sometimes will talk about, tell the story about when they were born. Not like the day, we don't go through all that stuff, but talk about how like we prayed and prayed and prayed. What I tell Peyton is like, we prayed for you like every single day when we found out that we were about to have a little boy. And we prayed that God would do so many things in your life. And you came out and you're so brave and you're so strong. And that you love God so much, and you've got musical talent, you love football, and you know all these different things. And he starts to light up like, wow, God made me so special. And so in those moments, it's just quality time where you're building your kids up, but just spending quality time with them. And here's another thing, with your coworkers, with your classmates, with your neighbors. One of the things that to encourage you to do is let's be honest, first of all, those people don't deserve, you know, the love to go, you know, they don't deserve love, right? When they tell you mowed the grass the wrong way, or they tell you, hey, you're stepping on my toes in the office. But it's one of those things where I want to encourage you to build a bridge by investing in their in those relationships. And I want to encourage you to be kind this week, to be kind in all those relationships to everybody around you, even when they don't deserve it, and even when it doesn't make sense. That's a way to build the bridge. Focus on being kind with them. And so these are just some ways to build bridges. And you know, God is in the business of building bridges to us. And he wants us to be people that build bridges in all of our relationships. So let me pray for you as we seek to do that with God's help. God, we are grateful for this challenge, for the way that you have loved us so many times. And God, thank you for the reminder that so many times we try to love people, we try to do good things, we try to help other people, and oftentimes we do it when we're not connected with you. And when we do, we find that our love is either doesn't quite reach true connection. Sometimes it's superficial. Sometimes it's motivated in a different way than true love. And so, God, we need you. We need you working in our lives. Thank you, God, for the way you've reached out to us. And we pray, I pray for everybody in here, that we would look at our, not only our marriages and our kids and everybody around us, but we would look 360 degrees around us this week to focus on how can I build a bridge? How can I build a bridge so that your love can flow in me and through me to other people? God, we ask this in your name.